Anyways, you guys got your Bible? Maybe? Perhaps? Yeah? Cool. We're going to read Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. And verse 23. We'll read a couple verses. And then we're just going to talk about them. Is that cool? Yeah? Are you guys excited? Are you guys awake? Are you ready? Yeah? How many of you guys have been enjoying the weather? It's been beautiful. How many of you guys are enjoying that next month is August and hashtag preseason Seahawks? Boo, says my father-in-law. Boo Hawks. Oh, man. Well, I'm excited. So, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says this. This is what the Lord says. I don't know about you, but if the Lord says something, we probably should pay attention to it, right? We probably should take heed to it. You as parents, any parents or grandparents in here? Couple of us, all right? Praise the Lord. When I tell my daughter not to do something or to do something, there's usually a purpose behind it. Case in point, the other day, this is kind of gross, but I'm going to say it. She had a number two. And she tried to touch it. And I'm like, Aria, don't touch it. And what does she do? She keeps trying to go for it. I'm like, Aria, stop it. She keeps trying to touch it. So today, essentially what I'm telling you to do is just listen to the Lord. Because he's trying to help you out. Okay? You guys want to listen? Cool. Say me, man. This is God. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. How many of us like it when we're smart, powerful, and rich? How many of us like to tell people when we're smart, powerful, and rich? How many of you guys get really excited when you know the answer to a question that not a lot of people know? I do. Get extremely excited. Oh, you didn't know that? I did. I'm not a genius. I'm just smarter than you. So. But this is what the Lord says. Don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your power. And don't boast in your wisdom. Oh. Riches. Somebody's boasting in their wisdom. I did that on purpose. No, I didn't. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom. Hey, it's Sam. It's Sam's birthday. Happy birthday, Sam. And Ashley. She's married to that guy. Woo. Looking good, looking good. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things I, the Lord, have spoken. Today I want to title our talk, Purpose. Father, we just thank you, for what you've already done, Lord. We thank you that, we get the opportunity to come together. I thank you, Father, that we don't take that lightly, that we don't just come into this place and just think it's another Sunday. It's just another day of us doing our due diligence. But Father, we come in here looking for rest, looking for restoration, looking for an encounter with you, an encounter with like-minded believers. And we just thank you, Father, that we get the opportunity to be a part of such a great church. We love you, Lord. Father, as we talk and get into your word, I pray, Lord, that we encounter you according to your word in John 1:1, Father, that you are your word. And I pray that today we encounter you. We just want to get to know you more, Father, for our lives, and let it just richly bless us and show others how good you are. We love you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but there are way too many social media platforms. I've been in youth ministry now long enough where I'm no longer a youth. I am now the wise, and I boast in it. Just kidding. But there's so many different social media platforms. It started off with this thing called MySpace. Have you heard of it? It's not here anymore. It's gross. It's gone. So MySpace and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Does anyone use Twitter? No one uses Twitter. It's the worst. Okay. John uses Twitter. That's right, John. It's the best. No one else thinks it, but good for you. What other ones are there? There used to be this thing called Vines and Snapchat and AOL, America, us, online. We were online and we all got off. Sorry, America Online. I liked it for a little bit. And one of the reasons I like it is because I got recently the opportunity to travel to the Philippines with this awesome dude right here, Pastor Lonnie. Woo! That guy. And we also got to take a trip down to Mexico and back in the day, my old youth pastor, Pastor Teddy Frazier, got to take us to Costa Rica. And one thing that is cool about these big social media platforms is I got to see what they're doing in Costa Rica, the Philippines, and down in Mexico in a minute. Not even in a minute. Milliseconds. They post, I see. I see what's going on. I see what they had for lunch. I so care what they had for lunch. Ooh, look what they have for lunch today, Pastor John. That looks delicious. I don't care. But in this heavy social media connected world, I hear more often than not in being in the place of ministry that I am, people don't feel connected. People don't feel connected. They feel alone. They feel isolated. They feel by themselves. Am I talking to anybody? I could be in a room full of people and feel completely alone. Feel like no one truly knows me. No one knows about me. No one cares. What is this about? Why is this so prevalent in our society that even though we have so many opportunities and so many avenues in which to connect, people don't feel connected? You know, there's this crazy stat now that there are more cell phones in China than there are people. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of people in China. Be afraid, America. Just kidding. There are a lot of people in China, and there are more cell phones in China than there are people. People have all these opportunities and ways to connect, but yet they do not feel connected. You know, maybe that's us or you or me today, that you feel like you are really connected. You're not really connected to anyone. Maybe even in your marriage at times, you feel like you don't even know that spouse. Or maybe inside of this church community, you feel like, I just come in, I sit down, and I leave. No one knows me. To me, that's hard. Because here's the thing is, I believe that our purpose for living is connection. You guys agree? You know, we don't think that way in our flesh a lot of times. We think, really, the purpose for living? Education. Man, as soon as I get done with high school, I got to go to college. As soon as I get done with college, I got to go do my graduate program. As soon as I get done with my graduate program, I got to get my doctorate. I'm looking at my wife, idiot. We think that wisdom is let's get as much knowledge and as possibly can. Is there anything wrong with knowledge? A little bit, but that's fine. Ignorance is bliss, people. You worried? Get dumber. Amen? Get dumber. I'm so happy all the time. Just elated. Why? Empty. You know what I'm saying? Anyways. But we think, that's really what we think purpose is sometimes. We think the reason that we're here on earth is, I got to go get as much education. I got to learn about as much as I can. That's the purpose of life, right? To get as far as we can with knowledge. But well, didn't we just read in Jeremiah that don't the wise boast in their wisdom, right? Next thing is we think that jobs, money, man, like we think that that's so important. I know I do sometimes. I care. I care about how much money's in my account. I care how many toys I have in my garage. I care about not having to lean on anyone at any time. Anybody else super proud? Never asking for nothing? Just me. Cool. I'm telling you, I don't know where I got it from, my dad. Anyways, he knows my dad. If I have to go out to eat and I don't have money, I'm not eating and I'm playing like I'm not hungry. Everyone knows I'm hungry. I ain't hungry, I'm fine. I had a big lunch. I'm hungry. But we care. We care about how much money's in our account. We care about how much wisdom's in our brains. And we care about how much power we have. I went to this men's retreat weekend a couple months back. And part of it was this awesome time just getting away with other men that believed the same way that I believed and just loved the Creator who created us. And part of the retreat weekend was we had to just disconnect from our normal reality. So we had to put away our phones completely. Could not look at your phone the entire weekend. Didn't have watches. Like, that's crazy. Have you guys ever just tried to go a day without knowing what time it is? Just staring at the sun. Like, it matters. It matters what time it is right now. I need to know. I need to know what's happening next. So I went to this men's retreat weekend, and part of the weekend was we weren't allowed to tell anyone what we did for a living. I was like, why not? I'm very proud for what I do. I'm a pastor. But we weren't allowed to tell each other. And you know how my interaction was with other people, other men? I was on the same level with everybody. I wasn't measuring myself up. I wasn't getting into these different positions like, oh, well, you do this, and then I do this, and so this is where I rank on the power scale, and this is where you rank on the power scale. I'm better than you. I just wasn't doing it. And you know what was so transforming about this? Is all of a sudden, all of us were on the same level. Why? Because I took pride in power. I take pride in position. But God is trying to communicate to us today, I believe, that what's the purpose? Is it to get rich, to get power, to get smarter? No, I believe this is exactly the purpose of life. It says that they know me. What's the purpose of life? To know Him. To know each other. What's the first thing? Like you go at the very beginning of time, Genesis. What does God do? He creates. And He creates us for fellowship and connection with Him. Did He create us just to tend the fields? Just to look after the garden? Just to... No, He created us so that we could be connected with Him. It's actually really interesting talking about Jeremiah in chapter 9 when it says that they know me. That they know me. This is the same word. When you go all the way back to Genesis with Adam and Eve, it says that Adam knew Eve. Now, it's talking sexually. But really what it's talking about is intimately. that they had an intimate connection. What does intimate look like? Intimate is vulnerable, open, risking. You know, true intimacy comes from risk, honestly. The more that you're willing to open up to the other person, the more intimate that you become. I don't think it's any coincidence that in our culture, sexual promiscuity is prevalent, because I believe it's easier to get naked with somebody than it is to actually expose your heart to somebody. How crazy is that? That we would lie with each other, but we wouldn't be really open with each other. And why do we do that? Because we crave connection. At the very core of it, sexuality is not bad. God created it, but He created it for the purpose of connection. God says that you know me, that you would know me intimately, that you would be connected with me. So maybe you're just asking, like, well, what's really the purpose today? Pastor Mike, why does it really matter? Why do I need to be connected with God? Why does it really, truly matter? And I don't know that I'm not meaning to challenge your intelligence. I know many of you guys have been in church for a very, very long time, and you think, I know I need to be connected with God. But do you really know why? And, might I add, are you really? Or are you coming to church and you're super faithful to church? Because here's the thing, is I could be super faithful to my wife, but I could sleep in a different bed. I don't go anywhere else. I'm here with her. Yeah, but are you intimately connected with her? And I'm not saying this to challenge you necessarily, but I'm telling you this to encourage you. Because I know that a real relationship with my wife is so much better than just being in the same house. I know that that's really, honestly, like, that's going to feel good. Feeling connected with my wife in the same way. We might just be in the house, but are we really, truly connected to God? Do we know God? I have the question posed to me this way before. And the way it was posed to me was this, was, if you got to heaven, let's say you got to heaven, everything's there. Everything. All the water slides. You know there's going to be water slides in heaven. I bet I'm going to see Pastor Cook on some water slides. I'm going to get out of there and he's, whee! He's like, the living water! That was super funny. What was my point? Oh, everything in heaven. I just thought my joke was that funny. Just lost the point. If you got to heaven, everything's there. Everything. But God wasn't there. Would that be enough for you? Awesome. See, that's what God longs for, is that we would care about Him more than anything else. Now, if that's true in heaven, why isn't it true on earth? Why isn't it true with your day-to-day? Why? God longs for intimate connection with you. Now, why does it matter? First off is this. It says in Psalms chapter 42 and verse 2, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So why do we need to connect with God? First off, it's for relationship. You know your soul craves and thirsts for God. Your soul, what God placed in you at the very beginning of your life, craves, thirst. Has anyone ever been really thirsty? I mean, not like, it's been a little bit, I'm a little parched. I mean, like, you are thirsty. Like, you start feeling lightheaded, your eyes are rolling back in your head, you're like, whoa, I need some water. Have you ever been like that before? And then you get to the waters, whoop, that's what I'm talking about. That's refreshing. Our souls, they thirst for God. They long for God. Our souls are thirsty for His presence. Our souls are thirsty for connection with Him. You know, it's not, you know, a lot of times, I think even when we come to church, we get this opportunity to be in a sanctuary, a safe place where we can come and we could bear our souls to God and be refreshed. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and weary, and I'll give you what? Rest, restoration." And we get this opportunity, but I think sometimes we come to church and we come as like a spectator rather than to come to experience. This is how you can tell if you're a spectator or you're experiencing. I've been to a football game before. The Seattle Seahawks. And you can tell when people are spectating or they're experiencing the game. When they're sitting in the seats, entertain me. How many of us come to church to be entertained? How many of us come to church to experience the living God? How many of us come here to say, man, I really need God. I've had a long weekend. I've had a long week, and I just need to be refreshed. I need to experience. I need to connect. I need to know God intimately in this moment. Or do we just come here and sit, look forward, entertain me, preacher man? Boring. I'm going to take a nap and play some Candy Crush. Who's on their phone right now? I'm looking around. I see. I can see your face glowing, and it ain't from the glory of God, I'll tell you that right now. It's from your cell phone. No, I'm taking notes. No, you ain't. I've been doing youth for too long. I know the lies. Praise the Lord. What's the purpose of connecting God? First off, we need relationship. Our souls, they thirst for God. Number two, I kind of already gave it away, restoration. Our souls, they need to be restored. It says this in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 3. It says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of the righteous for His namesake." Our souls need restoration. And it's not just a one-time thing. Pastor has a wonderful teaching, Revelation, on salvation versus saved versus salvation. That being saved is an instant. Salvation is a walk. I got married to Isabel August 18th. I remembered. 2006. Praise the Lord. That was an event. Now I walk it out. Every day. Am I not married to Isabel anymore? If I don't know, go down to somewhere? Away? No, I don't know. That was a weird example. Not thought out. Just, woo! Am I married to Isabel anymore if I go on a trip? Yes, I'm still married to Isabel. But do we still need to connect? Do we still need to know each other? Yes, we need to be connected. We need to be connected. November 17th, 2015, my daughter Aria was born. Beautiful. Other babies are cute. My daughter is gorgeous. Every time I look at her, I'm just like, me and Isabel would just stare at her and cry sometimes. Because like, oh my God. You're ours. We made you. We're so good at this. But for real, we are. I'm scared about the next one. It might be a freak, but we'll see. First one took all the good stuff. Second one's going to be weird. Nine toes? Really? Anyways. You just have to wear shoes all the time. Complex. Anywho. So, we need to be connected consistently, right? Our souls, they need restoration. I read it, but I'll read it again. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. And then Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I already referenced this, but I'll say it again. says that Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Or in other words, restoration. I will restore you. We're tired. And I can only go so long on my own. I can only go so long without a drink of water. I can only go so long without being in God's presence. Because my day-to-day life seems really meaningless without Him. Sometimes I feel like I'm in that movie Groundhog's Day. You guys remember it? What's the guy's name? Bill Murray. Classic. He's just living the same day over and over and over and over again. And it kind of seems like there's no purpose, right? He's trying to get out of it, but it's just kind of monotonous. And I think in the same way, without purpose, without a reason, kind of just seems like we're just kind of going through the motions, going through the day, trying to grind it out, hoping for the next season of life, hoping for that next promotion, hoping for that next income, hoping for that next position, or hoping for that next, whatever it is, we're hoping for the next. But really, that's not the purpose. The purpose isn't just to do and to live. The purpose is not just to merely get by and just try to keep your head down and grind it out. Purpose is to connect with God intimately and connect with others. What happened right after God created man? It's like, this is good, this is good, this is good. But you know what's not good? That man would be alone. Now that's not just talking about a wife or a spouse. That's talking about community. It is not good that man be alone. There's some crazy stats. I forgot to write them down. But there's some crazy stats about people that live in isolation. And the amount of suicide rates that go up from people that live in isolation. The early deaths that happen from people that live in isolation. The amount of murders that happen from people that live in isolations. What is that about, specifically around this idea of death? Because it doesn't seem like life has purpose when you're isolated. Doesn't seem like life really matters when you're by yourself. You can have all the money in the world, all the power, all the riches, all the wisdom. But life seems like it has no purpose. Because purpose comes from connection. You know what the best thing about that is? Anyone can have it. You don't have to wait for that next great promotion. You don't have to wait for that next pay increase. You don't have to wait for anything. You can have connection today. Right now. We could be connected. But here's the hard part. I've been doing marriage for now 11 years next month. 11 years. You know, it feels harder to connect. Like I have to do it on purpose every day now. You guys remember the beginning stages of a relationship? Whoo! Couldn't get me off that phone. Couldn't get me off that phone. We'd be on the phone, 2 a.m. I just want to hear you breathe. You laugh because you've done it. I just want to hear you breathe. Are you awake? Yeah, no, I'm fine. Man, but now it's like, I love my wife, but we're on the phone for 2 minutes. I'm like, are we done? I got stuff to do. It ain't wasted my time, but you ain't adding to it, I'll tell you that right now. Why? Because we have to be on purpose, day in, day out. Connected with God, connected with people. Is that funny, Charmel? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So why do we need to be connected with God? Relationship, restoration, and finally direction. It says this, finally direction. It says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask your generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You see, the purpose of life is to live out the life that God has for us. It's not just merely getting by, but it's about really being connected and thriving in this life. It wasn't good that God saw Adam, and it wasn't good that he was alone. God created Adam for connection, and then God created Eve for connection with Adam. You want to find true purpose in life? I want you to look around this room. You want to find true purpose in life? I want you to look up. That's where purpose comes from. Because I can tell you that even when you get the dream job, even when you get the amount of pay that you think you're going to be satisfied with and sustainable on, man, you're still there. And what's so ironic is I feel like there's a whole world crying out, look at me, I need to feel connected. I need to feel like someone knows me, that someone loves me. But it's kind of like this. Everyone's just looking one way. It's forward. So, no offense now, you guys are supposed to be doing it, but good job. But we're all kind of just looking one way and not really putting in the work of what it looks like to be a part of community. You know, you have a tremendous opportunity here. We recently started these things called Work Connections. And you get an opportunity to connect with people in this church around the Word. And I can tell you, being a part of one, that I get to know people. And I get to love people. You know, I believe the true meaning of life is this, is to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. To give and receive. I want you to know my story. I want you to know who I am. And I want to know yours. And what's beautiful about knowing, fully knowing, and then fully loving, that's incredible. Because most of the time, when you get to know someone, you start to like them less. Wow, that's who you are. That is impressive. We are meant to be with each other. We are created. And so for you, those of you that feel this way sometimes, that feel like I'm isolated, can I encourage you? Take some steps. Take some opportunities. You know, for me, a lot of times, you would think, you know, people have a hard time with this because they think just because I'm fat, I'm jolly or something. Like, Mike's always happy. He's such a happy person. He has no problems connecting with anybody ever. I do. You know, naturally, fleshly. You know, flesh never makes you do things that are good for you. Like, if I had my fleshly way, I would just be by myself on my couch with food. Lots and lots of food. No one touch me. No one be by me. Don't touch my food. But that only lasts for so long. See, really, honestly, truly, what we are longing for, our spirit man, our soul really longs for, is not to be fat on the couch. It's to be at the coffee shop with somebody. Really getting to know them. You know, every time when I have to force myself to go put myself out there, you guys wouldn't think this, but there is insecurity in me. A lot. And to almost make that first initiative step, like, I'm going to just text this person. You want to get some coffee? Send. Oh my gosh. What if they say no? What if I'm rejected? I can't handle this. I kind of make light of it, but it is really true, isn't it? Like, that's the really, honestly, where lack of connection is because there's lack of risk. To be honest, to be vulnerable, to put some skin in the game, to really show yourself and show what's going on in your heart because you think that people won't accept you. Newsflash, everybody's messed up. Newsflash, there's some crazy stuff going on in here sometimes. What happened? Never mind, don't worry about it. It's hard because there's risk. But I can promise you that there's always value in risk. In this area, at least. So we talked about why it matters, why we need to be connected. And here's three ways that you can connect. You ready for it? Connect with God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Let me put it up here. You guys have the Message version back there? No, not holy enough. Okay, I'll read it for mine. Hold on. I like how it says it in the message. All books. Boom. The message. Okay, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. This is what it says in the message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. How true is that? Here's what I want you to do. We're talking about being connected with God, right? Now, how do we connect with God? I want you to find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God. And you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are praying ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice and peddling and techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for this nonsense. Let me read this one more time, verse 6. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense His grace. Here's the three things that we need to do to truly start this intimate connection with God. Number one is we need to take the time. It takes time. I can tell you this in any relationship. What do you need to do to have a healthy relationship? Just time. You know, sometimes us as husbands, I think we do less and less and less for our wives because we're like, well, she won't appreciate this because it's not a huge, big, grand gesture. So we just don't do anything. Am I speaking to anybody? Okay, cool. We just won't do it, right? But really, honestly, at the end of it, it just takes time. Just being together, getting to know one another. The same way, we just need to be with God. We just go away. Don't role play in front of God. Don't try to be something else. But just try to be there as simply and as quietly and as honestly and transparently as you can. It just takes time. We need to be there. We need to take time to do it. In the same way, we need to take time with one another. You know why you don't feel connected? It's because you don't text someone, say, hey, why don't you just come over to my house? I'll cook you dinner. Why don't you and your husband come over and hang out with me and my wife? We'll eat dinner together. We'll break bread together. Breaking bread is delicious. And people will come if you have bread. It's true. Bread? I'm on my way. Takes time. The next thing is this. It says, try to be there. Where'd it go? Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to roleplay before God. Oh, just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. Next thing is this. We need transparency. We need time. We need transparency. I've heard it said one way this way, and hopefully you don't get offended by it. Some of us are living rated R lives and having PG prayers. Now, there's no guilt and shame on you for where you're at in life. But this is the thing. God knows your rated R life. God knows what's going on your day in, day out. And we think we need to be something different in front of Him. We can't just be transparent with Him. We can't tell Him what's really going on in our hearts. Like He doesn't already know. You can't go to God and say, I'm struggling. I'm doubting. I'm having a really hard time. We have to just go there and say, oh, everything's great, Lord. You know, glory to God. Glory to you. No, go transparency. It's tremendously important for us to be in our prayer closets with God and tell Him what's really going on in our hearts. He already knows, but there's something about exposing ourselves to Him. It's like going back to Genesis. It's like when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and then they were like, oh no, I see my butt, you know, and they ran and hid and they covered themselves. They were afraid. Do you think God didn't know what they looked like? Think God didn't understand what was going on? And the first thing he says to them, he says, "Where are you?" And they're hiding. We do the same thing. We hide. No, you can't know what's really going on. I already know. I made you. Every part that you're trying to hide right now, I created. So I kind of know it. And that's what we're doing. Like we're trying, like we're really, oh God, no, I got it together. It's, you know what really too, can I also free some people up? It's not about how hard you work either. No, I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to da-da-da-da-da. No, it's about being there transparently. Who you really are. What's really going on. Have you guys ever been in trouble with your parents? I remember being caught more than once. And I knew I was caught. Like they had the evidence in their hand. Mike, did you do this? Nope. Are you sure, Mike? Like they don't already know. The same thing, man. We go to God and like, hey, Mike, is this what's really in your heart? Nope. I only think about worship songs. I've been meditating on your word day in and day out, every day, Lord. I remember this one time. I spray painted my name on the side of the house in red spray paint. Very proud of my work. My mom came up to me. I'm pretty sure I had red spray paint on my hands in this moment. Hey, Mike? Emma? Did you spray paint your name on the side of the house? It was a white house, by the way. Did you spray paint your name on the side of the house? It was a rental. And no. Are you sure, Mike? Mom, there's lots of kids named Mike. Slowly walk away. Time transparency. Real and honest. Mom, I did it. I gotta go play with my friends. Oh, man. Finally, this. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The final thing is this, is submission. It's a part that we don't like. It's a part that we don't really want. Remember the beginning of this message, I told you about how Aria did her business. She kept trying to touch it. And I wanted her to submit to my authority. Aria, don't do that. No. Oh, that's our new favorite thing. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Children, toddlers love to say no. Love it. No. She just looks at me with such defiance. No. I do what I want. There needs to be submission, right? Because our Father has our best intention in mind. Hey, I want you to take this time and this season. I want you to go take this new position. I want you to go serve in the church. No. I care more about money. Hey, I want you to take some time. I want you to just love on your wife more this week. No. She's been really rude to me. I'm going to do one more. Hey, I want you to just go give that homeless person some money or go take them out to some food. No. You're just going to spend it on drugs. Make it plain. Oh, Lord. Praise Jesus. Time, transparency, submission. God has your best intention in mind. You want to live a life of fulfillment? You want to live a life that's worth living? You want to know what the meaning of life is? It's to connect with God and connect with others. That is literally the meaning of life. Isn't that like the big question? Why am I here? What's the purpose? Why does it matter? Just to be with God and just to be with people? Well, that doesn't sound very productive. It's okay to be productive, but don't put the cart before the horse. I'm going to share one more story and then I'll end. Recently, my two really good friends, Sam and Ashley, got married. Woo-hoo. Good job. They recently got married, and this has been really heavy on my heart, is like just feeling, I just want to be connected with people. I just want to connect with God. I want to connect with people. I want people to know who I really am. I don't want to have a facade. I don't want to have hypocrisy. I don't want to put on a mask. I want people to see really who I am. Whether it's always good or sometimes not so good, I want people to know who I am. And I want to just experience life. I'm tired of just kind of getting by. I want to experience life. And so when this has been really hot and heavy on my heart, Sam works here at the office, and he was beginning to look for some different honeymoon options. And so I'm sitting down with him. I'm like, dude, that'd be cool. That'd be so tight if you guys did that. That'd be awesome. And I felt like God dropped something into my spirit to share with Sam. You know what's so cool about those sites is it brings you and your wife closer together because you're experiencing it together. You know what's so cool about having projects and having tasks and seeing stuff done is it brings people closer together. You know what's so cool about driving down 512 and looking out and seeing 512, the mountain view of Mount Rainier? It's to look over at somebody and say, how beautiful is God's creation? And hopefully brings you guys even closer together. It's not about the creation, it's about the Creator. And that He gave us these things to bring us closer to Him and closer to each other. Can you come on up and set the ambiance for the Holy Spirit? Thank you. This morning it was a very, very simple message. I hope you got something from it. Oh, yeah, you can clap. Yeah. Well, my message is this for you guys in a nutshell and a recap is I want you guys to live a life of purpose. For some of us, we felt like we haven't had much of a purposeful life. We felt like it's just kind of going on and on and on and on and on. It feels like sometimes that the point of the day is to get through the work day, or sometimes the point of the day is just to survive. And there are times like that. There are seasons where, you know what, if you just survive this, you survive this season, good. That's what you need to do in this season. But I believe that God has called us to something greater. I believe that God has called us to a higher purpose than merely just getting by. I believe that God has called us to a purpose of having a fulfilled life. A life where it feels like it has purpose. A life that feels like it matters. A life that feels like that you want what you have, you want to give it away. That you want to show people. You know, the final step of this is to connect to God, to connect to others, and then to connect others to God. That's the purpose of life, is let me show you what it feels like to look connected. Let me show you what it feels like to truly feel like I have purpose. Let me show you what it looks like to not just dread my day, but to feel like I'm winning my day, to feel like I am more than enough in Christ, to feel like I really, truly am living a fulfilled life. Let me show you, let me point you back to Him. His name is Jesus. Let me show you who He is. And it's this beautiful circle of somebody else getting the revelation of who God is. And then they saying, you know what? I need to go tell my friend about it. Look, this is what it looks like to look, have a fulfilled life. And it just keeps going around and around and around and around. And I know that this congregation has the Word in us. But I want us not to only know the Word. I want us to experience it. I want us not to just come here and be spectators. I want us to come here and be active members, to be active participants of what God is is doing, not just in this building, but what God's doing in 253, what God's doing in Tacoma, what God's doing in your neighborhood, what God's doing in your sphere of influence, what God's doing with you in the specific time, the specific hour, that your life has purpose. It's not just about you. It's not just about who you're around, but it's about connecting them back to God because you're connected to Him. That's what life is about, and I pray that today you are encouraged to say, you know what? I want more. You know what? I want a more intimate connection with God. I want to be more transparent with God. I want to spend more time with God. And I pray that through this, you begin to desire to be connected with people even in a greater way. That you begin to see people differently. That you begin to see people the way that God sees them. That they're not just merely somebody walking down the hall. That it's not merely just somebody at the McDonald's or the Starbucks. But they are God's living, and God's children, God's sons and daughters. That we would see them and we would care. And we would want to get to know their story. We want to hear it. We want to know who they are. I care about who you are. Because through this we begin to get to know who we are even greater. It's just a beautiful circle. Don't just merely live. Will you stand up with me? Now, I'm feeling in my spirit something a little different. I hope you guys are open to it. This is the risk part. If you're not open, if you're not comfortable, don't do it. But I would just encourage you to just take a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to just take a moment. Think about how good God is. How much He loves you. And how much He loves that person sitting next to you. I just want to take a moment to exercise, to walk out what we heard today. This idea of connection. Why don't we just grab, if you're comfortable, you don't have to if you're not, grab the hand of the person next to you. You might have to stretch out a little bit. I would like everyone that's willing to do it. There we go. Awesome. There we go. And I just want to take a moment. I want you to pray for that person to your left and your right. I want you to pray over them. Pray a little louder so that your neighbor can hear you. Just pray over them. Pray that they be blessed. Pray that God begins to reveal their will even in a greater way. Pray that God would use them as a tool for His glory this week. Pray for blessings over one another. Thank you, Jesus. Pray that God would use them to glorify His name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just a couple more moments. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come on, just pray. Keep praying. You might need to say the same thing a couple times. Just pray aloud. Remember that that prayer is not for you. It's to bless your neighbor. Bless them well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all these awesome men and women in this place today. I pray, Lord, that they are richly blessed in their communities. They're richly blessed in their homes, Lord. Let them have even a greater connection with their spouse. Let them have a greater connection with their children. Let them have a greater connection with their grandchildren. Lord, help them. Jesus, help them to live a purpose-filled life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just another moment. If you're wrapping up, you can go ahead and wrap up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If there's anybody here in this place today, I always want to give this opportunity. The first thing I talked really heavily about today is being connected with God. And with every head bowed, every head closed in this place, if today you could you say, Pastor Mike, I need to have this touch again, or maybe I need to have this touch for the first time, but I don't feel like right now I'm connected with God, I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God would encounter you this morning, that here on July 30th, that you would encounter the living God. So with every head bowed, every head closed, if today you say, Pastor Mike, I want to accept Jesus for the first time, or I want to reconnect, rededicate my life to Him. It's a very simple thing. I don't want to do anything to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I also want to give the opportunity. What better way to be intimately connected with God than to be infilled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? We believe here at By His Word Christian Center that this is a gift for everyone. We believe that it's the way that we build up our inner man. So this morning, as we're just wrapping up, just take another moment. If you say, Pastor Mike, I want this gift that God has for me to build up my spiritual man. If you don't have this gift, we want to pray with you. Just another moment. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Well, let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share with your community, to share with your church. Thank you, Father, for these awesome men and women in this place. That, Lord, we're here for such a time as this, and we don't take this opportunity lightly to bring people back to you. I pray, Lord, that you bring these words back to their remembrance this week, Lord. That it's not about wisdom or power or riches, but it's about knowing you. I pray that these words bubble back up in their spirit, Father, as they begin to have their Monday, have their Tuesday. I pray, Lord, that they remember what's the purpose. What's the point? Thank you, Father. Let them be blessed as they leave. And let them be blessed as they eat lunch. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Hey, take these words. Even if you got a moment, why don't you connect with somebody before you run out the door? Maybe say hi to somebody. Find out their story. You don't have to find out the whole story, but just take a moment. It's okay, we're not in any rush. Love you guys. Be blessed.